All right, this week on Anchors Away, dating do's and don'ts for workplace romance post-pandemic. Yep, things have changed there too. A professional matchmaker reveals how to make it not so awkward to make the first move on your office crush. Thanks for joining another episode of Anchors Away. I'm Robert Burns, along with Sarah Threadgill, former TV news anchors, now professional people watchers, hosting this pseudo radio show as part of the Insider Media Network. You can subscribe for the show wherever you listen to podcasts. The show is free itself, but you can also very soon become an insider for about $1 a month on Apple Podcasts. You get bonus episodes and exclusive subscriber shows, one of which I will announce later on today. This week, our guest is a wonderful friend of mine. She's one of America's top relationship matchmakers. You've likely seen her quoted in all types of dating articles. And she is the Steph from Steph and the City, Stephanie Saffron, Sarah Threadgill. The whole gang is here. Let's talk some love.
Yeah, this is an interesting subject because I actually asked Robert earlier. I said, have you ever had an office romance? And he said, I've worked in TV news. Of course I have. And I think that's part of it. I mean, in our industry, and I'm sure other industries are like this, you tend to date people that you are around all the time, right?
I think that, yes, it's become so prevalent that we have now all these rules and laws about what we can and can't do, which is getting really confusing.
I get that. So what would be like the biggest rule that you could break in a situation where maybe it's a coworker?
I would think that the biggest rule you could break is dating your boss. That one would, I think, would be, and then the next one I would say would be doing anything, any hanky-panky in the workplace.
No more Christmas party issues going on in the back copy room. No more funsies like that happening. Now, it's funny we brought this up. Now, the reason that we brought this up for everyone out there who really hasn't been paying attention, there is a new show, I believe, on Netflix, Steph, is that what it is that came out? There's also been a new study that's been released talking about people not only returning to the office full time, but with that comes a lot of that office romance. You know, there's water coolers, there's bars, there's happy hours. There's ways to kind of move in on the crush that you have and make your move. Well, obviously, a year ago, COVID wiped all of that out. And 72% of people say that they had not begun a workplace romance since COVID began, meaning they had probably done it beforehand, which is a very large number right off the top. Does that surprise you?
It does not, because, again, I think that people tend to connect with people you spend the most time with. You've certainly heard your work husband, your work wife, things like that. And true to what you're saying is there is a Netflix show, Grace and Frankie, and one of the main characters, she's the boss and she is dating somebody in accounting and she goes and tells everybody. On another show, Younger, the main character is dating her boss and he has to resign his position and because he can no longer be her boss. So it's not so surprising. And Bill Gates, he met Melinda at work. Mm-hmm. So it's not so surprising because we spend so much time in the offices. And if we're not in our offices, of course, it's easy to say, I'm not dating anybody from work. Yeah. Zoom doesn't really offer that.
Yeah. It's making, and Robert touched on this, like the happy hours, the get togethers that we haven't been able to do in the last year. People are starting to meet up, grab a drink after work. I can see where that happens. It makes me think of Friends. I'm going old school when Rachel dated her assistant, you know,
it's, Ted. I believe Tad was his name. Don't ask me why I'm the one in this group who knows who it was that Rachel dated in Friends, but it was Tad.
It was Tad. And you know, Robert, we touched on this. We've both dated people that we've worked with. And I think a lot of it was convenience. I mean, we just saw them all the time.
I mean, okay. So, and Steph, let's talk on this for a second. While we mm-hmm. use the term, we have dated someone in the workplace, mm-hmm. I can't say that I have necessarily dated someone, but I have mm-hmm. made my move for a couple of fun bar nights and, you know, had some good times with each other. So that is something that's completely different. I think that's something that you might see. People have been pent up for a long time. And people are starting to look at, you know, say, hey, you know, I like this person. I don't know if I necessarily want to get back into dating, but let's have some fun. And that's where I think people need to, or maybe they come to you and say, hey, I don't know how to do this right now. You know, this is a whole different kind of world after we've been locked up for about a year. And maybe I have to still wear a mask. Maybe I don't. Maybe she does. What are some of the rules for that first step in getting back out there and at least making the first move, regardless of where it leads to?
I think one of the things are you can't be over the top in terms of asking somebody out like you used to, because that could be seen now as sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. That's a new word. We heard sexual harassment. We now hear sexual misconduct. So it's interesting because I did an article today on signs that somebody's interested in you. And one of the things that I said is, well, if they lightly touch you. And she said, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, if they touch your shoulder, if they look at you more directly, these are things that you have to be in person to kind of assess. You can't do it on a group phone call, a Zoom, or even, you know, I think you can't do it in even a water cooler situation. Mm-hmm. It's really one of those things that when you spend more one-on-one time with somebody that you kind of get more of a sense. What I also have heard in the workplace is there's so many people who there's outsourcing. So the romance that is happening might be that vendor that comes in or somebody that comes in on a frequent basis. So, you know, they have time to prepare to get their flirt on.
Get their flirt on. And no, I see this is so foreign to me because I've been married for almost 10 years now. So get the flirt on, you know. Not so much of a thing I do anymore. But yeah, I can see where there's a lot of issues, but we're not just talking about dating in the workplace. We're also talking about, I mean, it's now mm-hmm. people are getting out, they're going to bars, they're maybe jumping mm-hmm. back on some of these websites. What are some tips for people that, like Robert said, are just trying to get back out there? Maybe they don't know how to do it. Maybe is a website even a good, are those great tools anymore? I've been out of the game so long. I can't answer this.
I would imagine, and I would imagine Steph, you can touch on this, is that there's a mental difference now than there was in even December of 2019. You know, people have to hype themselves up differently before they go out. And some people may be more health conscious than others, but I mean, for you, you're getting all types of people that come into you, asking for, you know, relationship advice in terms of finding that person. So let's talk about that, you know, mindset, that mental mindset before you date in a post-pandemic world, kind of what we teased in the beginning.
I think that one of the things that's interesting that's changed so much is who would have thought that a dating app would be combining with the White House and Biden to get people vaccinated? So there's some interesting things, but also the way that people are trying to say, I'm COVID negative, I'm COVID positive, and that stuff doesn't really matter. Now we're into the vaccine part, but I think what people are finding is it's okay to do a video phone call or a phone call when before they would just text and go out and meet somewhere. And also what was interesting too is people are open to the idea of just going for a walk and a cheap date is okay. So really the intro, people are much more comfortable getting to know somebody more if they're going to go out with them because there's a safety issue. And if you find out that somebody doesn't share your same values, they don't want to get the vaccine, or they, you know, they take everything, like, again, they go and kiss you. And nowadays, guess what? We're back to asking if a kiss is okay because of COVID.
It's not dead anymore.
So again, there's some more directness, but also there's more acceptance that a traditional date is not so important right now. It's more to connect, to make sure you're on the same page before you're willing to meet.
See, that's interesting to me because Sarah, I'm going to exclude you on this one because you've been out of the dating loop for a while, and Steph has known me from when I was single. And you're absolutely right, Steph. You know, there was the text messages preferred, maybe a phone call if you're not a complete weirdo. You would never, ever FaceTime someone before you. It was the weirdest thing in the world if you were going to FaceTime someone. Now, what you just said was that's something that you'd probably recommend to some of your clients, maybe is set up a FaceTime or a Zoom or whatever platform you use to get a little bit more familiar. Is that more of what the norm may be right about now?
You know, I had to argue with people and say, hey, you need to talk on the phone and not text. I didn't necessarily go for a video call, mm-hmm. but at least no one's arguing with me over having, whether it's a video call or a phone call, and not just meeting so quickly or relying on text. Now, I do have a personal dating story I had out in the real world about, yes, my daughter and I were out a couple months ago when vaccines had just started. And we went to our favorite little watering hole. It's like the only place we would go indoors. And it's, you know, they were separated. There were two men, both sitting with women, that approached my daughter, really. And she was my wingman, and said, they both were dads who had daughters. One guy was just going through a divorce. The other guy was, in the process of like moving, and he had a daughter in high school. And the interesting thing was the conversation that I had with the guy who had the 15-year-old was about vaccines mm-hmm. and when we got our vaccines and things like that. The other guy, when I asked him about vaccines, he kind of didn't say much. So they both took my number, and the other guy, as it turned out, when I called him, I flat out asked him about the vaccine. He's like, oh yeah. Yeah. I'm a really healthy guy. I don't need the vaccine. My daughter thinks I should get it though. So I'm eventually going to get it, but I don't know when. And I literally had to say, sorry, you know, and they were both actually saying, well, we could go for a walk, or we could meet back here, and we understand with your daughter. But I had to say, sorry, we're not on the same page with this.
That was your deal breaker.
Total deal breaker to even meet for a walk, which again, mm-hmm. like meeting for a drink or something like that, might have not had it. But the interesting thing was the guy who had gotten the vaccine, again, it was a big conversation. He'd had COVID and mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And the other guy knew people. So the COVID thing was definitely a conversation piece, because it's nice not to be talking politically, mm-hmm. which you don't want to do. But also a lot of people are like, well, how did you handle? What did you do? Because you can't really say right now, you know, and the conversation too, for a lot of people, I think, is when are you going back to the office? I even in going into shopping for clothes, or I've been around and I've overheard people being like, what am I going to wear? We have to go back to the office 3 days a week. Who would have thought you would have heard something like this, you know, 2 years ago?
Right. Yep.
So
interesting. So there are deal breakers, and you're saying in this post-COVID era, you really got to stick to that, especially, you know, with kids. They can't get vaccinated right now. There's no vaccine for kids. And, you know, as a mom, you got to kind of be that mama bear and be like, sorry, we're not on the same page. So deal breakers, what else can people, I don't know, maybe expect post COVID on dating? I know things have changed. And again, I'm out of the game. I've been married a long time. It's different.
I think that, again, things are going to be a little slower than they used to be and more forgiving. If a person says, hey, I'm not feeling well, it has a different meaning than it did before. And so I really think that people are a little bit more lenient if somebody comes across as flaky because they have to cancel last minute. Whereas before, you would have taken it a completely different way. And so I, you know, from what I've seen, I do have a section now in my questionnaires asking people about their, you know, would they date somebody who's not vaccinated? And majority I've gotten back was no. I mean, I'm in a large populated city, so different places have different, you know, levels, and but we have public transportation things. I think also the I am beginning to see Ubers come back and Lyfts and cabs, and that's good. But I think, again, I think that people are just going to take certain things a little slower. They might have gone on 5 dates. They'll go on 2 to 3. So they're not, people aren't in that same rush to meet people as quickly because of some of the risks involved. And also because a lot of people are also kind of tired because now they've got to go into work and, you know, prepare mentally and socially for all these new things that we're reintroducing. I mean, going to a movie, you know, going to sports, Cubs games out here and things. Some people are really mentally preparing themselves for, because there's some anxiety with certain people, but everybody's been through some sort of change in their life. And so being that you have to deal with that change, I think that, I think what's very nerve-wracking to people is, again, dealing with someone being honest and truthful or not, because in this case, the stakes are a little bit higher than, hey, are you in a relationship or not?
Talking with Steph Saffron, who is the owner of Steph in the City, and she's a professional matchmaker, talking about, you know, the dating life and the love life after the pandemic has, you know, really kind of switched up a little bit. And Steph, I wanted to ask you one question here, because you are in a service business. And if one thing we have learned from being in the news, service businesses are one of the first things that kind of get pushed to the side for some people when the world shuts down. So my question would be, at what point did you start to see people not only maybe kind of start to come back, but show more interest in finding love and in finding someone and in putting themselves back out there? Was it, you know, in the middle while we were all kind of still locked up, or was it afterwards when things started to open up that it's now gotten busier for you? What was that time frame been like for people to finally feel comfortable to come out of their shell and meet someone?
I'm slammed right now. Does that gives you any indication?
That's good.
While well, you're eating dinner on the phone with us right now, right?
when you have a kid, sometimes you know, and she, her food looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would say that, when the mask mandate dropped, literally, you know, my email has been, you know, constant, but in general, what generally would happen under normal times was between Memorial Day to 4th of July, it would be pretty quiet. Everyone was taking vacations and things. And I would say that after the 4th of July, especially when things kind of opened up even more here, like my phone has been, my phone and email, it's ringing off the hook, you know, ringing off the hook and keep dinging. And I've also had people who've kind of been sitting in, waiting, where they contacted me and I said, look, we're not really in full, you know, full operation. I mean, we had a period of time we couldn't even go in our office space. Mm-hmm. And where was I going to meet these people? In Starbucks? So it, you know, so it was very different. But I've had a lot of people come back to me that maybe they wouldn't have really considered coming back to using a matchmaker or dating coach. And they've been nicer. And hopefully this trend stays, where they're like, hey, are you back to taking clients? Where are you at? As opposed to before, why didn't you get back to me? So I've actually had I've actually had a bunch of people who've kind of been waiting patiently to see what's the next steps, because in all honesty, these people are probably seeking me out because maybe they would have waited a little longer. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have done more stuff on their own. But because of the pandemic, they really want to know, what should I be doing? Mm-hmm. So it's like I also heard from some of the stylists and hairstylists that they're finally beginning to get back to normal. And I've heard people are, you know, going and getting their Botox and, you know, getting clothes and going places and feeling a sense of renewal. So I think also after some people haven't spent any money really doing things, it's nice to know that I might be on their list.
Yeah. Well, and I would also think people have just kind of spent a year. If you didn't have a significant other or a child or somebody that you saw regularly that you could see safely, I mean, you were by yourself, and you know, I wouldn't want to go through. And what if the numbers come back, or, you know, it's all those what ifs, man, I want to get out there. I want to find somebody. This is the time to do it.
It is the summer. It is normal for me to be in that phase mm-hmm. where it starts getting busier, because people start realizing after the 4th of July, they may have done some family things. They may have done weddings. I mean, apparently wedding season is also going a little crazy.
Trust me, I know. It's been a little busy out there.
So again, if you're trying to get back out, they have this thing called micro weddings. There's all sorts of things, but mm-hmm. the wedding planners who are really going crazy now, like, you know, so people are getting in that feeling where people are seeing it also around them, because we still are in an extended wedding season, even though we're July. It's still like June brides are going to stick around for a while. All you have to do is go to the stores and you see it. And we'll have to ask you, Rob. So
yeah, trust me, you gotta book them now for a wedding a year and a half away. But all right, so we are going to wrap this episode up with Stephanie Seffern from Steph and the City. Steph, we're gonna have you back for a bonus episode, and you're gonna give us some tips. I know I told you to kind of think of them. We don't know what they are. Can you give us a hint on what we could look forward to listening to next week?
I think I can give you some information on some tips to get your profile back in action.
Perfect. Bumble, Match, eHarmony, Farmers Only. I don't know. Whatever it is you use out there, have at it. Steph, thanks for spending the time this week with us. You can find more of her on stephinthecity.com. You can also hear more of her on some episodes coming up of a previous podcast I used to have called Love and Tacos. That will be posted on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe for that when it pops up. Give it about a day or so. But Steph, thanks for coming on. We will talk to you again in the bonus episode. And Sarah, you stick around as well, because you're going to have more to talk about in the next segment.
I do. I have questions.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.